All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27. Chapter 27 for the message this morning. I want to read just one verse and preach from one verse. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Proverbs chapter 27. And we're going to do something a little different. We're all going to read the text verse, okay? So I'm going to wait on you to find it, everybody. And now I'm reading out of a King James Bible, so if you don't have a King James Bible, you're going to be different probably in what I'm reading. So the eighth verse, all right? Everybody find it? All right, let's read it together. Here we go. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Now, it's a simple little proverb, is it not? And it's just packed. There are all kinds of little applications that can be made in that little verse. So keep your Bible open there, please. And let's think about lessons from the wandering bird. Lessons from the wandering bird. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Father, thank you so much for the song about heaven. Oh, we can only imagine what a wonderful place heaven will be. And I pray now that you will bless as we think about the journey to heaven. And from the moment we get saved and living our lives for your honor and your glory, Father, I just pray that you will bless now as we think about the journey to heaven. And as we look at this verse that talks about the bird that wandereth from her nest, Solomon's point here is that we are so much like the birds that are restless. We just have a difficult time staying in that nest where there's safety. And the tendency is to wander from the nest. And when we do, there's all kinds of dangers that are lurking. And so, Father, I pray that as I preach on this subject this morning, that you will apply it to our hearts. There are so many applications, but Father, I'm going to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God this morning to make that application to each of our hearts. We're just so thankful that we have a Bible that is current and up to date, and we have a Spirit that moves and works in our hearts and draws us to salvation and to the Father's side. And I pray that the Spirit of God will do His work this morning. May we leave here today rejoicing at what we've allowed you to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, the Bible is filled, and I did not realize this until I read this verse and started thinking about it, but the Bible is just full of lessons that God gives us using birds and playing off of that analogy and playing off of the little feathered friends that are just all over our planet. And when you stop and think about it, there are a lot of references that are made in the Bible where God is talking about birds. For example, the Lord Jesus said, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap." And of course, the Lord was talking about how birds don't, they don't sow a garden. They don't raise fruit trees. They just eat off of what God has put on this planet. And yet, in a marvelous way, God always provides and God always takes care of even the birds in the air. The Lord Jesus, a little bit later on, went on to say, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing?" Now, they would buy sparrows and offer sparrows as an offering at the temple. Poor folks couldn't afford, to bring a big offering. They couldn't afford to bring a lamb or a bullock, so they sold sparrows at the market, and folks could go for a penny and buy a sparrow and bring it and offer a sparrow as an offering for his sin. And the Lord was just trying there to get us to see that the birds that are all around us. I mean, sparrows are everywhere. It doesn't matter where you are on the planet, you're going to find sparrows. And the Lord Jesus was quick here to give us eyes to see these little birds that are all around us. And he used them to make an argument for how, if God is going to provide for them, how much more is God going to provide for us? I mean, these little old sparrows that are everywhere, and God provides for them. And his point is, if God provides for them, he will certainly provide for us. Now, here in this text that I have chosen out of the book of Proverbs, Solomon uses a certain behavior of birds as an example of how restless man can be. Notice that the whole point of this verse, the whole point of the rebuke, lies in the emphasis that is put upon this little bird wandering away from his nest. That nest is a place of safety for that bird. It is a place where he takes care and diligence to prepare his nest. And in that nest is where the eggs are laid. And in that nest, it's always placed where there is safety. And so notice that the emphasis here is put upon the safety that the nest provides and the fact that there is always grave danger when that little bird wanders from its nest. Now, I want you to notice that the emphasis here is on the word wandering. It's not on flying. Okay, do you see that? He does not say in the verse, as the bird that flieth from her nest. No, a bird flying that's natural. That's what birds do. But the point is, when that little bird wanders from his nest, he is not speaking here of the migration process that happens each year. You know, around here, we notice at the end of September, the 1st of October, you look out your kitchen window and you'll see a bunch of robins or you'll see a bunch of blackbirds. And then as the day progresses, it's just like they're all drawn together, and you'll see them fly up and spiral in the sky. And then they get bigger, their numbers increase. And when you look and see thousands upon thousands, you know that fall is ripe, and you know that winter is coming. And then all of a sudden you notice, boom, they're just gone. They have migrated south. You see, birds have good sense. Amen. And so, but Solomon is not talking about the migration process. You know, each spring when I start mowing my grass, I notice this. I watch for this, and I carefully watch for the swallows to show up while I'm mowing. It's almost like when I get that mower out sometime around the middle of May, all of a sudden, these swallows will start dancing around me while I'm mowing the grass. And I'll be going down through the yard, and here they'll come, and they'll just swoop in front of me and behind me. And every time I see those swallows, the first time I see them, I get all excited because I know that that's a sign that cold is over with. And we're not going to have to deal with the north winds anymore. And spring is sprung and summer is here and all's looking good. And then in the fall, of course, when I'm mowing in September and October, the swallows are gone. They've already migrated south. So I know when they disappear, winter is just around the corner. But notice in the verse here, Solomon is not speaking of a bird that hears the call of God and leaves for warmer climate. He is speaking here in this verse of the wandering bird. You see, in the nest, that little bird is safe. The nest is his place of safety. It's his place of refuge. But it is when that bird wanders away from the nest that he finds himself in danger. We have out where we live, we have a red-tailed hawk that lives that flies around in our neighborhood, and we see him all the time. I've got pictures of him sitting on out in my backyard and sitting on an iron stove that we have out back, a fireplace out back. I have pictures of him sitting there, and you see him all the time. And about a year and a half ago, I was sitting on the porch. I had just finished mowing the grass, and I was sitting on the porch to cool down, and I saw a robin fly out of the tree. We have some pine trees that line between my yard and my neighbor's yard, fir trees and spruce trees, and they flew out and landed in the grass that I had just mowed. And I was sitting there just looking down and looking at the yard, and all of a sudden I saw this streak that flashed. And I looked, and it was that red-tailed hawk. And that thing flew down out of nowhere and caught that robin on the ground, and all I saw were feathers fly. That was it. And that little hawk carried that robin away. And that poor robin never even saw what hit him. I mean, he didn't even flinch. It just came down and grabbed it, and it was gone. And so just proof that bird was not safe out in the yard. It needed the safety of its nest. Now, the point that Solomon is making is that it is the wandering bird that is in danger. That restless bird. And I want us to think about this restlessness this morning that seems to just plague all of us. A few thoughts this morning on the restless bird. The first thing I want you to notice that sometimes God calls us to wander. Sometimes it's the call of God in our lives. Sometimes it is the Lord that moves us. I remember when I graduated from college, and they offered me a position in a church in Langley, South Carolina. And I remember calling home and talking to my mother and telling my mother that after Karen and I got married, we were going to stay in South Carolina where I would work as a youth pastor in that church. And my mother was just devastated. But her question was this. She said, "Son, do you feel that is God's call in your life?" And I said, "Yes, Mom, this is what the Lord wants us to do." And she was fine with it. I remember then standing many years later in my brother's driveway, and our car was packed and we were ready to move to Joliet, Illinois. And my dad came and wept on my shoulder, and I wept on his, as both of us realized that by us moving to Joliet, Illinois, things were forever changing in our family. But you see, it was God's will. I had to go where God called me to go. And sometimes God is the one who calls us to wander. I think you need to understand that. You see, like Abraham of old, sometimes God calls us to get up and to get out. There are times when the will of God is for you to take what you have learned in one place and then go and use it in another place. That happened to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. And this even happened one day, if you'll remember, to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. If you'll remember, the Bible said that in the fullness of the time, when the time was ripe, when it was ready, when all things were prepared, the Lord Jesus stepped out of heaven, compelled by the love of his Father, and he left the splendor and glory of heaven to come to a manger in Bethlehem. And there our Savior was born. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, when Christ left his throne in heaven to come to this earth, he came to face the danger of Calvary's cross. But it was the will of God. God sent his Son to be our Savior. He knew that we could not redeem ourselves. He knew that there was no way that we could pay our sin debt. And so God sent his only begotten Son to come into this world, face the cross of Calvary, and give his life for our sin. Oh, to be sure, the Christian life is one of great ambition, and we never know how the Lord is going to use us or where he's going to use us. But when the Lord calls, we've got to do what the Lord wants us to do. And you know, I was thinking maybe there might be somebody here this morning, some young person, and maybe you're just getting out of high school. Maybe you just graduated the other night, or maybe you're facing graduation. Have you ever stopped to ask, what is God's will for my life? Maybe the Lord has some wondering he wants you to do. Maybe the Lord wants you to be a missionary somewhere or a pastor somewhere. But to be sure, the Christian life is one of great ambition. We never know how the Lord's going to use us. And you know, one thing I've learned, the waters of God are never a stagnant pool. Never. The waters of God are never a stagnant pool. We never know where the current will take us, but we know that when the mighty hand of God stirs the water and is directing the current, we know for sure that he will guide us where is his will for our lives. And that in that guidance, he will never leave us nor forsake us. And sometimes it is the leading of God that causes us to wander from our nest. But you know, there's a second thing I want you to consider. More times than not, we are more comfortable at home. More times than not. Now, let me illustrate this from an encounter Elisha had in 2 Kings chapter 4. There was a story there about a Shunammite woman who had been kind to the prophet. And so he wanted to help her. He came to her and he asked her one day, "What can I do for you?" And she stood there puzzled. She did not know. She was happy with what she had in life. And so the prophet gave some suggestions and he asked her, "Could I go and speak to the king on your behalf? And could I maybe secure an apartment in the palace for you and for your son to live in?" And her answer to him was really kind of startling. She looked at him and she said, "No, thank you." And here's what she said. She said, "I dwell among my own people." You know what she meant by that? She meant, "I'm happy right here where I am. I'm happy right here where I am." You see, that little shack that she lived in was her true environment. That was her nest. And she was going to make the most out of her home. She did not feel safe wandering from her nest. You know, folks, it's good to have enough sense to know to be happy. Should I say that again? It's good to have enough sense to know to be happy. And I'm sure you know someone or several someones who are just not happy. We all know folks like that. I mean, they never have been happy, and they don't have any plans for being happy in the future. I mean, they're just not happy. It is doubtful that they will ever be happy. And even though they haven't wandered from their nest, they just aren't content with their nest. But this lady was happy where she was. You see, if you had taken her out of her nest and put her in a nest in the palace among all those hotsy-totsy, snooty people in the king's court, she would never have been happy. And she knew it. So she was satisfied to be at home where she belonged. And I think that's an admirable thing for her to realize that. Folks, the point is, are you happy dwelling in your own nest? You know, there are a lot of people that are envious of somebody else's nest. Oh, don't be like that. Be thankful for what you've got. Be thankful for the way God has blessed you, and do what you can to make what you have the very best that it can be. And I'm wondering, are you dwelling, happy dwelling among your own? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing where God has placed you? This Shunammite gal did just that. She was happy with what she had, and she was enjoying what she had. And you know, when you think about it, you go back and look through the Bible, you can find examples of folks that were just restless. I'm thinking about David right now. I'm thinking about how David got himself in such trouble with God. That whole ordeal with Bathsheba started, the Bible says, at the time when kings go forth to battle. You see, David was not supposed to be in Jerusalem at that time. He was supposed to be out at the battlefront with his troops. But he was not happy with that. And he didn't want to go. But David was not where he was supposed to be. That's usually when you get into trouble. When you are not where you're supposed to be. When you've wandered away from the nest. That's normally when you get in trouble. You look at these high school kids, and they're under mom and dad's care. But then they get out of high school and they get into college age, and oh, how many of them have ruined their lives because they got out of the nest and then the danger came. And that's exactly what Solomon is warning about right here. You know, David was not where he was supposed to be. War was raging, and the place of a true king was at the front and directing and inspiring his men. But David tarried in Jerusalem, and when he did, it all went downhill from there. Folks, how in the world can you hope to be a strong Christian if you spend all your time with those that make a mockery out of the Lord? Man, we need to be with God's people. You know, when I got saved, I had to choose all new friends. And the reason is because they didn't want anything to do with me anymore. Our interests were not the same. I went to church. I didn't drink anymore. I didn't curse anymore. And they wanted nothing to do with that. For as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Folks, be happy in your home. Be happy with your children. Don't be sitting around comparing your kids to somebody else's kids. Hey, be happy with your wife. Don't be sitting around comparing your wife with somebody else's wife. Don't wander from the nest. Then thirdly, I want you to realize, thirdly, that sometimes we do not know our own place. We don't know our own nest sometimes. I think sometimes we wander away from our nest, and then we get out there away from where we're supposed to be, and then realize afterwards what a mistake we made by leaving our nest. You know, in 20 years, I've had several folks come up to me at a Living Cross or at a Christmas Eve service, and I've had them come up down, you know, down here in the aisles and after one of those programs, and they'll walk up and they'll have this look on their face, this sheepish look on their face, and they'll come up and say, Pastor, do you remember me? I always remember them. I may not always remember names, but I always remember faces. I never forget a face. And Pastor, do you remember me? And folks, of course I do. I always remember. And what I remember that there was a time when they were here three services a week. I remember that there was a time when they were in the choir. I remember that there was a time when they were on a bus route or coming out on Thursday night to the Soul Winners Club and going visiting. And I cannot tell you how many times in the last few years I have had people right over there or right there or right there or right back there or right back there come up to me, hey, Pastor, do you remember me? And I'll say, yeah, I remember you. How you doing? And then had them say something like this, you know, Pastor, looking back, the happiest time of my life was when I was here and serving the Lord. And I always say the same thing to them. I always look them square in the eye and say, well, you know, you can come back. But you know, it's really strange. Once you wander out of that nest, it's really hard to get back. Oh, it's not impossible to get back, but it's really hard to get back. Once you wander from the nest, truth be told, it's almost impossible to get back. But you can get back. You want an example of that in the Bible? I got one for you. It's called the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal, when he was on the farm, he was pretty sure that the farm was not the right place for him. Oh, he chafed at the when he was on his daddy's farm. He could not wait for the chance to wander from the nest. He was so restless. He said, I got to get out of here. But then when he did, and he got in the far country, and he spent every dime he had, and then he's sitting on the fence at the hog pen, and his stomach is growling, and his stomach is touching his backbone, and he's sitting there miserable looking at the hogs and smelling the hogs. The prodigal then thought to himself, you know, my father's servants have it better off than what I got it. And the Bible says, wait for it, he came to himself. Oh, it's always a great day when anybody comes to their senses. And he realized that he needed to get back to the nest. He learned the hard way, but thank God he learned the lesson that the farm was his true place all along. 10,000 times over, he said in his heart, once he got home, once he hugged his father, and once he had the robe on and the ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and his belly full of the fatted calf, he said 1,000 times over, I'll never leave the nest again. And he probably went to his servants around him and said, boys, listen, if you ever hear me talking about leaving the nest again, just slap me upside the head and remind me that I got it best right here in the Father's house. And brethren, I want to serve notice on you, every one of you here this morning. Listen, the best place you can be is in the nest. And the nest is in fellowship with God. The nest is in your Bible every day, reading God's Word and learning God's truth. The nest is for you to be in the Church of the Open Door Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting, missions conference, serving on a bus, just doing something for God. That's your nest. And you go check with these restless folks. You go out and check with these restless. Go talk to them. And just find out how happy they are now that they've wandered from the nest. Because they're not happy. And they'll tell you so. They'll tell you, you need to stay in the nest. I stood right here one living cross about 3 years ago. I stood right there. And a young man told me that the happiest time of his life was when he was a bus captain and serving the Lord. He said, Pastor, I stood here and watched that man play my part in the living cross. And I wept. And I said, well, why don't you come back? And he looked me square in the eye and he bowed his head. And I said, hey, I didn't say let's pray. And he lifted his head and he looked me in the eye and he turned and walked away. You see, he got out there and wandered from the nest. And now he's got a trail of sin behind him. And he stood there, you could see, making a decision. Sin or the Savior? Sin or the Savior? And he turned and he walked away. What's it going to be? Oh, don't wander from the nest. Don't wander from the nest. Then I got to show you one more thing. I got to show you one more. Number four, let me close by making some parallels here to the Savior. I got to make a parallel to Jesus. I got to show you this and show you the Lord Jesus. Look at your verse. Everybody just look at verse 8 again. I want you to look carefully at it. You follow along. I'm just going to rephrase it a little bit. I'm going to flip it a little bit for you. But look at your verse. You follow along as I say this. All right, here we go. As a bird that never wanders from her nest, Jesus never wandered from his nest. Now you think about that for a minute. What was our Lord's nest? It was to do the will of him who sent him. And Jesus never strayed, never strayed from doing that will. I don't know, but maybe when we get to heaven, we will learn that Mary used this parable to find strength and encouragement in her life. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, do you remember when Jesus was 12? And they came from Nazareth down to Jerusalem and they left. They probably came down when he was 12 for his bar mitzvah. And so no doubt the whole family came. This was a big to-do. And they had this huge caravan, a family that came down and they celebrated. And then they were all heading home. And the Bible says they got a day's journey up the road. And Mary looked over at Joseph and said, have you seen our son? And Joseph said, well, I thought he was with you. I bet Joseph was months getting out of that deal, don't you? I mean, think about it. Come on. I bet he was in trouble. And so they had to come back. And they were a day's journey away. And they had to come all the way back. And they like they never found him. But finally they found him in the temple. And when they found him, I dare say that Mary was just a little perturbed when she saw him sitting there with the doctors and lawyers just as happy as he could be. And might she have walked up to him and said, "Son, why did you do this? Do you not remember in our devotions last week, we were reading out of Solomon's Proverbs, and I read to you, as a bird wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place." And the Lord Jesus turned and answered and said, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" You see, folks, in the temple, he was in his place. He was in his nest. I don't think Mary fully understood that, and surely that did not soften her anger, but from his appointed place, my point is, the Lord Jesus never wandered. Even though he was tempted of the devil, he never strayed from the appointed place that was given him of his Father. Even when he spoke of the cross to the disciples, and the disciples said, "Oh no, Lord, you cannot die. You cannot go to the cross." And Peter stood in his face and said, "Lord, far be it from thee." But it was for the cross that he came. And it was for the cross that he went to pay sin's penalty for all men. I'm saying to you folks, as a bird that never wandered from her nest, so Jesus never wandered from his place. He came and did what he was sent to do. And now you and I can be assured of a home in heaven when our faith is in him. Have you trusted him as your Savior? You see, he's the only way. There's no other way than through him. But then there's a second application to Christ. And that is this: the true place for all of us, me, staff, my wife, all the folks over on this side and all the folks in the middle and all the folks over there, the true place for all of us, just like Jesus was, is to be close to the Lord. Just close to the Lord. Don't wander from the nest. Don't wander from the Lord. Hey, don't wander from church. Just stay close to the Lord. I have as all y'all know, I love sports. And I have a couple of sites that I look at every morning when I come in. I have a couple of sports sites that take me over to the English Premier Soccer League. I love soccer, English soccer, specifically Manchester United soccer. That's the team I like. And every morning, right now, the season just ended like 2 weeks ago. And now everybody's getting geared up for the summer tournaments, and all the contracts are, you know, teams are getting new managers, and they're all shopping and trying to find out who they're going to buy and how much they're going to cost and blah, blah, blah. And so every morning I come in, I look at those sites. And these sports sites that cover what I'm interested in cover all sports. And evidently, they have hired reporters whose only job is to follow the former Cleveland Browns quarterback, former Texas A&M quarterback, Johnny Manziel, around. Evidently, that's all they do. Because every day there is a new story about how Johnny Manziel is ruining his life. And make no mistake about it, he's ruining his life. Evidently, the boy has a drinking problem. And evidently, the boy has just a philandering problem. And every day there is a new story about what he did the night before. And he is destroying his life wandering from the nest. You see, his nest is to play football. His nest is to be an employee of the Cleveland Browns. But he's leaving the nest and he's drinking and he's drugging and he's carousing around. And you can't do that and function. So the Cleveland Browns have fired him. He's left the nest. And he's ruining his life. Ruining his life with wandering from the nest. And folks, let me tell you, that's exactly what sin does when you wander away from the place of safety. It will eat you alive. It will consume you. It will destroy your dreams. It will ruin your future. And I'm just saying to you, Christian, get in your place, and your place is to walk with God. Don't get restless and think you'd be better off wandering from the nest. That's a lie that the devil's telling you. Don't listen to it. Know the God of your salvation. Walk with Him. Learn His Word. Stay in the place of safety. Stay in your nest. I've watched young people graduate from our school and go on to Bible college and get their college degree and graduate from college and serve the Lord and be greatly used and blessed of God. And thank the Lord for every one of them. But I've also watched others who, while they were here, struggled with the rules. While they were here, struggled with authority. While they were here, struggled with their parents and struggled with the youth pastor and struggled with the church and struggled with their pastor. And they wander from the nest, restless, careless, even rebellious. Just recently, all of us on the staff were over Carroll County Hospital visiting one of them who had tubes coming out of every conceivable place. And the doctor standing over him and his family telling them, "Bud, listen, you've got to stop drinking. The next one's going to kill you." I'll guarantee you that young man wishes he had stayed in the nest. You know, it's pretty sad when you're 30, 35, 34, 35 years old and you've ruined yourself with alcohol. You better stay in the nest. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. You know, your place is to be close to God. Get in your place and stay there. Don't wander from the nest. You'll be sorry. That little old robin flew out of that tree. He looked down. He saw a little bug crawling where I mowed that grass. And that little robin flew. He didn't fly 20 feet. And he landed. And as soon as he bent down to get that bug, wham. And that's how the devil works.